Trent, if you don't mind. And if I could get your name, please, and your title.
Yeah, okay. Hi, Neil. I'm Trent Ogilvy. I'm the president of Rockwool's insulation business in North America.
Okay. And just spell your last name for me, Trent.
O-G-I-L-V-I-E.
Okay. So you wanted to tell me something as we...
I just thought, thanks for joining us, and just before we get into your questions, just thought we'd make, I would make an opening statement. First, I'd like to sort of describe my position a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So I have been the president of North America for 23 years, which is means I'm pretty much responsible for the company we've built here, which includes two production factories outside of Toronto and our North American headquarters, another factory in British Columbia, our first U.S. facility, which now has two production units in Mississippi, which we opened in 2014. Mm-hmm. And a year ago, we announced our second U.S. facility right here in Ranson, West Virginia. So just, allow me to make a couple of statements. And really, I think the most important one is that everyone knows there's been a lot of discussion in the community about this factory over the last couple of weeks. Of course, we're following. We respect the fact that there's questions. Of course, we want to be able to make sure we address as many as we can. And I also want to say that we are accelerating that effort going forward in terms of communicating and answering over the next coming period. And I can talk about that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But I think also it's really important for you to understand that these comments and criticisms of Rockwool, I don't recognize. It's not the company I work for 23 years. It's not the manufacturing facilities we have. And it's certainly not the reality for over, we have over 11,000 employees around the world, and it's really not the reality that those people deal with every day. These criticisms, concerns also aren't what we hear from the neighborhoods and communities we operate in. We have 45 factories around the world in 39 countries, and we don't have this kind of criticism and commentary, and we certainly don't in our other facilities in North America. So the concern, it concerns us a great deal, these kind of comments. There's a lot of emotion in play. We don't think there's much fact in play, and there's certainly a need for more fact. And it's a little unfortunate because we think a lot of people in this community really do want to understand Rockwool and the value we have, what our values are, and what we stand for. So, and then before I take your questions, I have one more statement, and we do respect people's right to question, criticize. I think that's all okay and legitimate. But lately, some of these people have actually been resorting to threats of violence on our employees in town, as they just go about their day-to-day jobs. And we don't think that's okay.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the way those threats have come
about? Yeah, there's been things stopping in a store and saying, we're going to damage your property, we know who you work for, those kind of intimidation for even some of the contractors on the site. So we really think that's gone too far and that's not okay. Let's have a conversation, let's ask questions, let's respond. But violence against people trying to do their best they can every day isn't good. So now I'm ready for your questions.
Okay. Why did you want to build a plant here in this area?
So this location is really ideally located to serve the Northeast Mid-Atlantic part of the insulation market. So you can imagine insulation is sold where people live, where the population is concentrated. So, in fact, the Eastern Panhandle is ideally suited to serve that market. And we did a lot of work on site selection, and this state and county won out.
Okay. Very good. Clearly, and you mentioned, some people were surprised by the scope of the plant after they say after it was announced that ground was broken. Were you surprised? And I think your suggestion was that it was, don't want to put words in your mouth. Were you surprised by the reaction after ground was broken?
I think it's a good question, and we were. And maybe reflect a little bit about why. We announced this project in July 2017, so a year ago. We announced it with quite some fanfare, press releases of our own from the county, from the state. Since that time, over the last year, I don't know how many times I've spoken in the community to either organizational events or other events. We've got other communications people that have spoken. We've attended the golf tournaments, done the local community stuff. We've had advertisements in the paper, along with the Department of Environmental Protection, DEP. We put out a mailing flyer to every citizen in Ranson in October 2017. With pictures of the factory. You can see the rendering on the wall. We followed up again in January with another mailing, so which is our normal communications each quarter to the communities that we're manufacturing and building in. So I think we've had a pretty active presence in the area for a year. So, yeah, we're a little surprised that suddenly people said they didn't know or we were secretive and things like that.
Given the places, I mean, you've moved into communities before, And I think I read someplace that there wasn't any appreciable response to your arrival. Is that usually the way it is, that there's not a concern, that there's not the the wondering about what life, how life is going to be changed? Was that sort of, that seems strange to you folks?
Yeah. Again, this is the fifth production line we're building in North America, so we have done this, and we've done. Several. We just opened the Mississippi plant in 2014. We built the new line in Toronto in 2009. So it's pretty fresh. And we have followed a similar communications that I just described in terms of press releases, community brochures, and mailings explaining. And that's sort of each quarter as it's being announced, as it's being built. Mm-hmm. We haven't had this kind of reaction. If you just look at Mississippi, the last one we built, I mean, it's been operating for 4 years. There is absolutely zero violation for the air permits that exist. There's absolutely zero odor, zero noise complaints, and a community that's very supportive of us and the economic benefits that we bring.
Were they concerned before you built the thing? Was there anything similar to this sort of noise that you're?
No. Again, we communicate thoroughly. We tell people what it's going to look like. I'm pointing. I know we're being recorded, but I'm pointing to a picture on the wall so people can see. In the case of this facility, we took some stakeholders to Mississippi to show them the factory, the economic development people. So I think people were pretty well communicated with and understanding that this isn't harmful or a big negative impact on the community and supportive of the economic benefits of the facility.
Okay. Stipulating that all the legal, all the permits, all the legal requirements were done. Any thoughts now, I guess it's in retrospect, about what might have been done to avoid what's happening now in terms of from a community relations or public relations standpoint, what is it that's different about this particular case that's caused this?
I can't really, I guess I can't really speak to why some of these stakeholders, the Air Club, has suddenly appeared. But all I can say is we've been pretty active for a year communicating, I think, as thoroughly as we can. It's worked in every other location we've done this. We've got great community support. I don't know, maybe can I ask Michael, maybe he's got a comment to add.
Sure.
to the why?
Well, sometimes it just happens that there's a lot of information that gets put out on the community, and I think you had it right, Neil, when you commented that the people started paying more attention when the ground was broken, and they could see machinery on the site, and then there was all of a sudden a lot of people who didn't get the information that Trent is referring to, and started asking a bunch of questions, and then one of the unfortunate things that developed, I think, also that Trent was mentioning, is that there's a lot of questions that people didn't have answers to and they didn't know where to go. Mm-hmm. And so they started filling in the blanks and doing a lot of research themselves. And that was leading to a lot of questions.
Okay. All right. So this plan will be across Route 9 from a school. There's three other schools within a couple of miles. Does Rockwell have any other plans that are in such close proximity to schools that you're aware of?
Yeah, so we've heard that concern, and simple answer to your question is yes, we do. But also,
Can you tell me where?
For example, in our Toronto, I say Toronto just for reference, but it's actually in a suburb called Milton, mm-hmm. Within I'll say 4 kilometers. I don't know what that is in miles, three maybe. I think there's something like 18 schools. So we have a lot of schools. We're really in a community, in the middle of a community in that facility. So we have a lot of experience with schools and never had an issue.
What would that county be if I were to look up?
Milton, Ontario.
Milton, Ontario.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I also wanted to say that I think when we talk about the facts not being out there, and the facts aren't out there on the air permit we have and the modeling that's been done. So I don't think everybody's really understood the modeling that was done for this West Virginia facility. And you know, there is it's required to get the permit, so we did that. And we modeled the emissions that we could expect from this facility using the, you know, the wind and the data that's available on the site and how we're going to do it. And there's things called the primary national ambient air quality standards. And those things are written for sensitive people, elderly, children, people with asthma. Then there's secondary ambient air quality standards. And that's recognizing visibility, crops, animals, and buildings. And we met both of that with our monitoring. So that facility will operate under those thresholds, below those thresholds for emissions. And those thresholds, Neil, are measured at our fence line. So the fence line of our property is where we're meeting those very stringent thresholds. So if you go outside our fence line towards a school or otherwise in the community, it's obviously much, much lower and below any of the EPA or state DEP standards. So this facility will have the same environmental abatement equipment as its sister in Mississippi. It's a pretty modern plant. It's only 4 years old, so it'll have the same. And again, that's operated for 4 years without any violation to these limits or complaints.
And let me make sure that I'm understanding that. When you say that there's zero complaints or zero violations or whatever the word, are you saying that in no cases has there been any sort of measurements that have been above the levels that they should be
Yeah. So these permits that we have applied for and received for West Virginia, obviously they have the same in Mississippi, they require us to monitor and report emissions. And there has never been an emission over the allowable. As a matter of fact, they're much, much lower than allowed, quite frankly.
Okay. Let me ask you. Clearly, you're below the legal limits EPA's requirements. A lot of people here in this particular community would like you to go beyond the minimum. Some of the possibilities or suggestions that I've heard would be a study of potential impact of the plant's emissions at nearby schools, or real-time pollution monitoring devices at the nearby schools. Any thoughts on that as sort of a good faith contribution of ensuring the neighbors about what's going on?
I think those are some good ideas. We're really confident of our emission levels and how low they are and how little or no impact they will have on those fields. So I think we're going to take that under advisement and see, can we put some monitoring stations up now and after? So I'll say, without committing to you, I'd say I think it's a good suggestion.
Okay. It wasn't mine. It was people who've been in touch. Now, on November 22nd, and you mentioned the secretive things, and I don't want to spend too much time on that. On November 22nd, 2017, the day before Thanksgiving, you posted your air quality permit notice, and few people read those notices in the paper, and I would imagine that fewer people read them the day before Thanksgiving. And a lot of people say they weren't aware of the scope of the building until the ground broke. Any thought that there might have been more to that something else might have been done to engage the community about the materials that were going into the air in a more public way?
Yeah, so we've heard the comment and the criticism of secrecy. People seem to think because we used a project name for it that we were being secretive, and that's really not true. We are a publicly traded company. We need board approvals for certain things, so we do keep projects fairly confidential as we go forward. So using names
and just so you know, I'm not going into that secretive thing. Okay. I'm just saying that now, in retrospect, from a PR and a community standpoint, the fact that what I think was probably the most the first time that the public could have seen sort of what was going into the air. Do you think that there might have been a different way to share that information so that it didn't come as such a surprise when the people eventually realized it?
Well, I mean, I can't sit here and say there is no better way. But again, I would say putting a direct mail brochure to every citizen of Rancid in a 2-mile radius around Rancid in October, talking about our factory, our timeline, when we're going to build, when we're going to apply for our permit, is probably better noticed than the ad that went in on a date, which, as soon as we could, we're trying to build this thing as quickly as possible, where it's a busy company, we need the capacity. So I think we did that. We did it again in January. So I don't know. There's a lot of direct mail, brochure, nice pictures, talking about our permit, talking about our timeline of construction. So I don't know much more we could have done to make people aware. We took community leaders and other business people to Mississippi, showed them.
So. I think somehow, this is a little bit editorialized on my point on leadership, somehow the message didn't seem to get to trickle down to the constituents. And I won't even ask you to respond to that, because that was my editorial comment. Okay, so the air quality permit, I'm no scientist, and I didn't do the math, but there's hundreds of tons of new stuff will be going into the air. How dangerous is that, and should there be concern?
Short answer, no, because we're pretty confident with these national air quality standards, both primary and secondary, and all the modeling we've done, that the levels that actually are emitted, and again, we're measuring at our fence line, are well, well below any standards. And these standards, again, relate to people with asthma and children and animals and crops. So no, we don't think there's any concern. As I said, we have 45 factories like this around the world, four production lines in North America before us, and we're not harming the communities or the people where we operate. So we're very, very confident.
Okay. Some of the things that come out of the stacks create ozone and haze, and you're a few miles away from Harper's Ferry, and a few more miles away from the vineyards of in Loudoun County, Virginia. Any concern about what it's going to look like? Whether views will be affected, and any thoughts on any sort of visibility impact testing needed? Anything along those lines?
Absolutely. And that is a concern in every community we operate. So you can see a factory, you can see what it looks like, it has stacks, but it doesn't operate with any visible plume. So yes, there's emissions and they're very low. And for example, something like ozone, it's a very, very detailed and technical subject. And here, Neil, I think maybe I said earlier that we're going to accelerate our communication going forward. One of the key initiatives that we have is a community open house on August 24th. 25th, thank you. Mm-hmm. 10 a.m., sorry, I have to look down to make sure I get it right, 25th. From 10 a.m. to 2 at the Jefferson County Community Center, we are going to have our experts, our scientists there to make sure with graphs and just so people can really understand how little impact there is to ozone. Almost, it's not measurable from our factory. And the same for formaldehyde and some of the other emissions. So we will put that in front of the public in a very detailed way. I don't have it all in front of me, but we will for sure be communicating that.
Okay, just a couple more questions here. Some people are hoping, and I'm sure you've read on Facebook and elsewhere, that they're hoping that the plant will never be built, and are suggesting doing what they can do to pressure for that, including contemplating legal action. Obviously, you're a business, but you're also are striving to be good neighbors. Your thoughts on the fact that at this point, as we stand at this moment, not everybody is welcoming you with open arms.
For sure, we have read the criticisms and read the Facebook posts, and there are, we think, the very few that are very negative. I doubt there's anything we're going to do to change that, but we think the majority will understand. As we talk about improving and increasing our communication, we hope that those concerns or that desire not to have the factory will go away, and they'll embrace the economic impact. Remember, Neil, we are spending $150 million in this community building it. We're hiring a minimum of 150 people. When we built the Mississippi plant, in the 2 years we built it, we brought in $4.5 million of economic impact to the county that we built in. So that's just a local lift in the economy. That's hiring tradespeople, using the local press and print. You imagine the hotels and restaurants we use, we bring in a lot of people. So there's a real economic benefit to the community. And I think as we communicate and get our message out, we'll go back to being welcomed, that which is what we felt for the first 12 months, and maybe never convinced the small majority that wants to keep saying this stuff. But it's just not the proper facts.